The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Yeah, if you just joined us, Grammy Award-winning artist Roberta Flack passed away overnight, and she was 88 years old. I didn't realize that she had been around that long, but just an amazing singer.
Rose in your eyes.
It's probably what she's most famed for. First time I ever saw your face, or ever I saw your face, and feel like making
Beautiful.
Love. Did a lot of songs back in the early 70s with Donny Hathaway. They did a lot of duets. They were just great. Great songs.
Closer. Oh, that's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see. Didn't she also sing the theme for Beauty and the Beast? I want to say I could be thinking of someone else, but needless to say, though, just an amazing artist. You know, the one thing about first time ever I saw your face, this is a little bit of inside baseball, Dr. Powers, Dr. Dennis Powers, with me this morning once again, where past meets present, is
cool.
that in the days of big AM radio, that is a song that would often kick AM transmitters off the air, believe it or not. They're famous in the engineering world. We would talk about it back in the day because the bass was so strong in that song, you know, the first time ever I saw your face, and it would cause overloads. AM transmitters, not all of them, but many of them would. And there are some brands that, you know, you had to watch the volume when you would play that song. Otherwise, you'd kick the transmitter off the air because of the bass.
And the thing about it, too, is that Roberta Flack wanted to be a classical musician.
Yeah.
And it was because of that training that she came up with these wonderful songs, Bill, that you're pointing out.
Yeah. I would also add that there is another artist that also tended to kick transmitters off the air at the time in the AM world. Back in the early 80s, it was Kim Carnes and Betty Davis Eyes. The audio processors of the day had trouble on some of the AM stations.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah?
Well, that's interesting.
I remember I worked at some of the stations in those days in Modesto. We had to be careful playing Betty Davis Eyes. It would kick it off, and then you'd have to turn it back on. But anyway, all right. And then you got in the FM world, you don't have to worry about that stuff. But, you know, neither here nor there.
You had seen the transition.
Yep, absolutely. So, Doc, let's talk about the Frohnmeyers. Frohnmeyer family has had a lot of influence here in Southern Oregon, where past meets present, and that's who you're profiling today, the history of the Frohnmeyers, right?
Yeah, Bill, and what an amazing story. I had a couple of listeners that said they were wondering about the Frohnmeyers, and they were actually Otto was born in Germany in 1905,
mm-hmm.
and he was with his family immigrated to Oregon, where his father was a watchmaker. But Otto then,
well, yeah, but still a watchmaker and a toolmaker. Doesn't that sound like someone named Otto Frohnmeyer? Oh yeah, he's the watchmaker in town, right? Isn't that perfect?
Oh, it does, and actually, you could tell that the family, you know, had this support for Otto, and the reason is the fact that they weren't coming in here to work in the gold mines or to, as you're pointing out, it was one of those ones where, with being a watchmaker and a toolmaker and such, it was more. It's really what you would think about in terms of. You know, in terms of Germany at the time, as to the precision.
Mm-hmm.
And in any event, he earned a law degree being Otto from the University of Oregon, worked odd jobs that included being a hotel bellhop. But then a fellow by the name of Porter Neff, who really was another fine attorney in Medford, offered Otto a job. He came here. And
that's how the Frohnmeyers first made it to Southern Oregon back at that time, in the, mid-30s, probably, right?
Yeah, actually, they had first started off in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that was the reason why Otto then went to the University of Oregon, not only undergrad, but also his law degree. But because of Neff, and also Otto Frohnmeyer was really a very good attorney. I mean, from all the people that wrote about him, he really was really incredible. He represented Harry and David, the Mail Tribune. And I think the key thing, Bill, was that he chaired the 200 leaders, the rich and powerful, that secured the $2 million of funding that started Rogue Valley Memorial Hospital, that's now Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center, helped establish Mercy Flights, married Maribel Braden, who was a music teacher from Albany. And in any event, Otto was a lifelong Republican. And these are names that, really stand out to me because he was he had a key role in Mark Hatfield. When we had, you know, senators that weren't as beholden to folks like Biden. So in any event...
You know, I never realized until I'm looking at your piece here that Otto ended up doing the fundraising campaign in the 1980s to buy Mahonia Hall. I guess we didn't have a governor's residence before that time or the official one?
And Bill, that's a really a good point because they didn't. And Otto led that statewide fundraising campaign to purchase, and it was a private residence, and make it into Mahonia Hall, which is the official residence of the Oregon governors. And you're absolutely correct. What really stood out, though, is that in terms of their children, and see, Otto lived until he was 95 years old.
Wow. So he just passed away only in 2000, year 2000 then, roughly.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah. And then when you take a look at the four children who grew into adulthood, you know, when I got into that one, Bill, I just said, you know, I don't think folks really know how extraordinary these grown children were. Mira and Philip were award-winning university music professors and performers. Philip was, as I recall, a professor of music at
Loyola
University.
Yeah.
But then we had John and David. And I had met David, but John was chair of the National Endowment for the Arts. But when you look into these, Bill, these folks, John was and went to Stanford. And he was in the U.S. Navy during the Vietnam War and then came back and earned his J.D. degree from the U of O School of Law. And he was editor-in-chief of the Law Review. These are really very incredible achievements even then.
And, of course, David was very active in state politics, no doubt about that, right?
He was, and he, which really stood out to me, he graduated magna cum laude from Harvard, went and had a Rhodes Scholarship, went to Cal Berkeley with his law degree, attorney general, as I recall, for three terms, ran for governor of Oregon in 1990 but didn't win. And then he was the one that was appointed president of the U of O in 1994, which is where I had met him a couple of times in terms of over at the Wanawato 30th anniversary. And you could just tell when you talk to these people, Bill, that you could see why they had done what they had done because they just stood out. But the problem, though, which really kind of chisels into this, is that David Frohnmayer's daughters were diagnosed with Fanconi anemia, and all three tragically died of the complication. This is a recessive genetic illness at ages of 12, 24, and 29. So even with this, what really stood out to me is the fact that we do as best we can. We're born, we live, we pass away.
Are all of Dave Frohnmayer's children? Did they all pass from the same?
They passed. They had his.
It ended with him then, right?
Yes. Hmm. But the key thing though was the fact that here's a person that had been Oregon's attorney general for three terms, was the nominee for governor of Oregon, was appointed president of the university in 1994. And I remember that even the Oregonian was calling his presidency one of the most remarkable performances in Oregon history. And then he died of prostate cancer at age 74. They contributed so much to this region but also nationally, and we honor them.
How do you think that, I know I'm asking to speculate, though, how do you think Mr. Frohmayer might have handled the woke era running the University of Oregon, had he been running it in those days? Do you know? Hey, could you speculate? Care to?
Yeah, I can speculate on that because I've seen it with different presidents at Southern Oregon University with different types of political leanings. And there is a navigation that they do instinctively so that they can have Salem support and be able to keep different types of First Amendment rights continuing on at the university. And it's
Do you think they would have been embracing the the trans agenda and putting dudes into women's sports teams, things like that, or might he have? Of course, I don't know. Maybe it was such a big agenda in those days that no president of any system was able to resist it. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Well, Bill, that's a very good question because I was thinking about that the other day, which is. At all of the universities that we have here in Oregon, at least so far, we haven't had national explosions such as what happened in Maine in terms of men and women's sports, which mm-hmm. is just a no-no. I mean, it has to do also with the fact that do you really want to have a man who says, well, I'm actually a woman, who then goes ahead and dresses in your daughter's room in her bathroom at school where she's going to go ahead and play in an athletic sport. You know, Bill, one other quick thing there is that there was news about a pole vaulter. And I used to pole vault, except I would, just to let you know, my pole vault, they high jump now higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, the pole vaulter, and I think it was one of the eastern states, I think it was Maine, but in any event, the pole vaulter who was in the women, he was a man who identified as a woman, won the pole vault by 6 inches. But when you put that feat with the male in the male competition, he would have been 13th.
Yeah,
now that
shows you the the reality that essentially all of the. Where many of the dudes wishing to invade women's sports are essentially failed male athletes and are able to get a lot of attention. In just my opinion, but we'll see.
But I'm sure you're right because this particular one was interviewed and said, "I like to win."
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, "Well, that's a cheap win."
Well, that doesn't matter. Yeah, a W, as long even if it's an ugly win in that world, but still, the whole idea, the part that has always amazed me about the trans agenda on this, especially with males and female sports here, Doctor, is what happened to the feminists? Feminists fought for all of these programs so that that young girls and young women could actually go out there and get their scholarships and go out there and do their best, maybe even play professionally, and then they stand by as the dudes, as the fake women come in. It's just like, come on. I never got that.
I was thinking about that the other day, and what occurred to me, especially with Dodge, is follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at these people where, this is what Trump, as you're pointing out so well, is a 90-10 issue. Like, where's the 10% that want to have men competing in women's sports? Where is that 10%, 90% in the country saying, this is just cuckoo? But you see, what happens is that follow the money. These are the same people who are getting monies from Soros. The one standing up here on all this, they have been bought and paid for.
Yay, why don't we hold that thought then? Why don't we hold that thought and maybe dig into that a little bit here? And if that might be changing because of the Doge issues. Although, I don't think that the email thing was a wise thing to do. Would you concur with me on that one? Any kind of employee evaluation should be coming from the people who are running those agencies, like the Cash Patels and more. Do you agree with me on that? I don't think it's good for the chain of command. What say you?
And I have a slightly different take, Bill, on that one.
Okay.
I think it's a brilliant move by Trump and Elon.
Yeah, I disagree on
what
that.
What they did.
Yeah.
But,
all right, we'll agree.
They're always very strong.
We'll agree to disagree. We'll agree to disagree. All right, hang on, Doc. I'll be right back. Okay, this is the Bill Meyer Show, 770-5633.
Hi, this is Cassie from Clazard.
On News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Back with Dr. Dennis Powers, and we got John standing by, and gentlemen, you wanted to weigh in on the Elon Musk thing. Go right ahead. The emails over the weekend. You think I'm taking him too seriously?
Well, look, to me, I'm not saying your point's wrong, but I think this is classic Trump, Bill. It's like it's almost like the whole tariff thing. He comes out with something like this, whether it's him or Elon, and just people, their shorts are in a twist immediately, and I think it's kind of fun to watch. I think at the end of the day that that's what it is. This is how Trump does things, and this is how he keeps his enemies on their heels.
Okay, well, the one thing I will say, though, is that his appointees, though, took it seriously, and they're telling all their employees to ignore him. So there we go. Appreciate the call. Let me go to John. John, you're on with Dr. Powers. You knew Dave Frohmeyer. He's your friend, right? Tell us more.
Yeah. Well, I went to undergraduate and graduate school there, and David and I became friends. I was part of the Alumni Association for a while, and I helped some kids get into school. But David had a huge political challenge. The students then decided they were going to boycott all of Nike. And Phil Knight said, well, if that happens, I withdraw my billion-dollar donation that I just made.
Oops.
And so David had to deal with the far left-wing woke students. And he did a brilliant job. I mean, I don't know how quite he did it, but he worked with everybody, and he made it work. And also, the other thing is, his son John, I don't think, died of the disease as his three daughters did. I believe that his son John is still alive.
Oh, and you know, you're absolutely correct on that. And how long were you working with David? As a matter of fact, Paul Fadick, just who's been a friend I've known for years, wrote an article about David on his association that was in the current.
Yeah. You're losing your phone a little bit, John. Could you speak more directly in the mic? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, David and I were friends for over 20 years. And, you know, he was a tremendous guy. I mean, I always thought that he had an ability. And also his father, Otto, was my attorney. So, I mean, I was involved with the Frohmeyer family forever.
Boy.
Since I got here. But Dave did a tremendous job, and he's the one that got Phil Knight to put up the billions of dollars, you know, the millions and millions of dollars that he has put up. And it was his relationship with Phil Knight that made the University of Oregon what it is today.
And, you know, you're absolutely right about that, because now I do recall, the Nike wokeness issue. One of the questions that I had that I was trying to find an answer to was that on the Frohmeyer firm, which continues on, I don't see any descendants that are in the firm right now, although it's still a prestigious law firm in Medford.
Yeah, do you know anything about that, John?
I do. Bill Deathridge, who I used for years, too, he passed away. And so Frohmeyer Deathridge was the firm, but the original people that were in the firm are gone. And,
all right.
Otto was a true gentleman. He also helped, you know, start the hospital here. He's the one that funded the local hospital. He did all kinds of things in our community. He was a tremendous person and a tremendous asset to the Rogue Valley.
Thank you so much, John, and great call. Always appreciate that. Yeah, even just the formation of our Rogue Valley Medical Center, RVMC, at that time, now RRMC. Of course, I know I'm starting to get lost in all of the new names and
Well, you know, it was really an amazing job, because the fact that he actually chaired this group that secured $2 million of funding that created Rogue Valley Memorial Hospital, now Asante's Rogue Regional Medical Center, and helped establish Mercy Flights. And I can just see that with the attorney, and he was the attorney for, a number of these businesses. We see his stamp now, and also with his grown children. It's just one of those ones where you're just very happy to say, yeah, I live here, and this is a great place to live.
Well, the family really made their mark. They really did, and there's a reason for that, for sure. Hi, you're on with Dr. Powers. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill and Dr. Powers, Brad again. I had to call in because, Dr. Powers, you did such a great job. Dave Frohnmayer is an Oregon-American hero. I actually knew his dad. His dad administered a couple of contracts that I did back in the early 90s, and he scared the hell out of me. He was tall. He was imposing. He was always polite, but I knew that if I was doing a job that he was administering, I was going to get it right, or he was going to have me for lunch. He was a very imposing man.
But that's really an excellent point. It really is.
Brad. Hey, thanks for making that, Brad. Yeah, in other words, don't mess with the Frohnmayers, then they will take you down. It's kind of like, remember what Chuck Schumer said about the intelligence agencies? You mess with the intelligence agency. I guess it was like our Dave Frohnmayer messing with the Frohnmayers. Let me grab one more call here. Hi, good morning. You're with Dr. Powers on Where Past Meets Present. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Rich.
Hi, Rich. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just had a little funny story about Maribel Frohnmayer. I used to work at Quality Market.
Yeah.
They were customers there. And she came in one day and bought her groceries, and we used to always take groceries out to the car, and she had her dog. They had a white Samoyan dog, and that dog ripped every cushion of the chairs in that Lincoln that she had. There was foam and stuff everywhere, and as she walked up, I do not remember the name of the dog, but the dog, it was Beethoven or something like that.
Yeah, she was into classical music, if I recall, right?
Yeah. You've been a good boy? And she goes, oh, no, you haven't been. I mean, no, just everything was just so matter-of-fact, and both of them were such a class act to everybody in the community. I just remember that from waiting on them.
But you're telling me that all the cushions in that Lincoln were torn up and the foam was everywhere, right?
The headrest, the foam was out of it. And it was just something. But she just was as calm as she could be. And no, you have not been a good boy. Oh. It was just hysterical.
Great story.
These are great stories. They really are.
And thanks for sharing that. God, that one made my day. I could see it in my mind, too. All right, we'll take one more. Hi, good morning. Who's this? You're with Dr. Powers.
Bill, it's Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I did meet Otto Frohnmayer and his wife on a couple of occasions. And anyway, I really didn't know them that personally, but I was reading a book here a few years back, and one of Otto's good friends was a guy named Bill Bowerman.
Oh, I'll be sure.
Bill Bowerman, I believe, in his autobiography said that, you go through life and probably your best friends you can count on one hand. And he said, Otto Frohnmayer was one of those guys.
And Bill Bowerman was, the founder of Nike and all these, the football coach here and all sorts of things. That's a good story.
And thank you for sharing it. Thank you very much, Jerry. Jerry the Bull, 839. Doc, that was fun. I always appreciate you joining in here. And I'll tell you what, we'll do this again next week. You ready for that?
Sounds like a winner. Happy to, and be well and be safe. And it's always fun to work with you, and especially about the Frohnmayers.
By the way, before we take off, is there anything in the current news cycle? It's so difficult to keep track on. What do you think is most intriguing to you out of all of the political news that we're getting right now?
On the point that Musk made about let us know what you did last week.
Mm-hmm.
That really underneath this, the employees funded by taxpayers are going to face consequences after skipping in-person work today. And the what I really liked about it was the fact that, Department of Defense, my friend, and others said, we will be handling this. But what I love is the fact they're saying, yes, we'd also like to know what you have done last week. and also have you reported back to work, and we are going to be checking into this issue.
Fair enough. Doc, thanks so much. We'll keep an eye on that one. Oh, before you do take off, Bill, birthright sure. citizenship, the birthright citizenship challenge, what odds would you give that as it grinds its way to the Supreme Court? Because you know it's going to end up, they're going to take that case, won't they? They will take
yes.
it on the executive order.
Excellent point, Bill. And it's going to be one to where the liberal far-left judges are going to be following the instincts that got him a district judgeship mm-hmm. By being a good fundraiser for either Obama or Biden, and they're going to be going ahead and putting on injunctions, and it's going to be getting into the Supreme Court. I think it's going to be 50-50.
You do?
I really do, and the reason is that I would say that the argument is strong, my friend, for Trump, but for the fact that I have a Chief Justice who is going to be weaseling and going back and forth, and so what could have been a 6-3 is going to be, it could be a 4-5 or a 5-4 in terms of which way you go.
All right. So, in other words, you wouldn't bet on it either way.
I'd wait until I started seeing it, but you see, there's nothing in the Constitution, nothing. Not even in the cases that came in after 1896 that go ahead and hold, my friend, that if someone who's here illegitimately and just gives
is subject to the jurisdiction, right? Subject to the jurisdiction, and of course they'll make this case. They'll say, well, they have to follow the laws while they're here. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, that would mean that I'm subject to the jurisdiction of Paris police when I visited Paris. Yeah, you know, I would be. But does that subject to this jurisdiction means that, you know, I drop my kid here and all of a sudden it's a brand new citizen? I don't think anything about the 14th ever meant that. But there's a lot of stuff that could be constitutional and yet not right and yet not good.
Oh, I think you're absolutely yeah. right, especially given the fact that we're still fighting Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it in terms of the judges that were really, including the last one appointed, I think, by Biden in 2024, who is overseeing the trans issue for soldiers with the Department of Defense. And she went so far off because she is gay that the Department of Justice had to put in an ethics complaint about her because she was cross-examining people saying, what is your religion? That has nothing to do with it. That shows you how far gone it is that we're fighting in Nicaragua.
Yeah, got a lot of work to do here. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk next Monday, all right? Be well.
Be well and be safe, my friend.
All right, and we'll check news here with Bill London, also the latest from Town Hall News in just a moment. Gold. Price of gold continues to just grind a little bit up, every little bit up, a little bit up. We're at $29.40 on its way to $3,000. And maybe you have some scrap gold and other things, maybe some collectible coins too. Jay Austin, Gold and Silver Buyers. Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass. They would love to buy your coins and scrap gold. And if you want to sell, now is the time. Collectible coin values along with gold and silver are way up. Now, if you're looking to purchase on the buying side, hey, they're more than happy to help you out about it. But the point is that everything about gold and silver, it is doing what it's designed to do, and that is protecting wealth over the long term. Now, there was a couple of years ago, I had a customer call Mark right after he had been on my show, and they asked Mark, well, what do you do with gold and silver when there's nothing to eat and you can't eat gold? He says, no, you can't eat gold. But if you didn't make plans and for some reason you didn't have food and all you do have is gold, Mark guarantees you that someone is buying gold. Someone is always buying gold. Even right now, the biggest central banks are buying it right now. And maybe you should too. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. FortuneReserve.com. Call at 482-3715.
Hogs Fabricating carries Northstar flatbeds and trailers, along with a full line of Horizon and Iron Bull trailers. But we built our business on in-house custom fabrication. All custom jobs are under one roof.
Members are now voting on the proposed deal. The deadline is 4 p.m. today. Bill London, KMED.
And hopefully we'll have an answer by that time. 847, Bill's here. Bill, you have an Otto Frohnmayer story. Love to hear it. Go ahead.
Yes, my grandfather had a sawmill in Prospect, and one of the employees sued him. And when they went to court, Otto Frohmeyer was the
Was he defending your father, father's mill, or what?
No, it was the opposite way. It was the guy that was suing him.
Uh-huh.
And he got beat really badly by Otto, because he's such a high quality attorney. And then after that, Otto became our family's attorney. So,
yeah, you saw the results. Okay, yeah, that worked out pretty well, right? It's nothing succeeds like a success, for sure. Thanks for the story there, Bill. Appreciate that. 770-5633.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
And on the Bill Myers Show, emails of the day. And those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. .com. It's on Freeman Way, right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. If you need specialized brushes, toothbrushes, and toothpaste and mouthwashes, things like that, things like water picks, I bought one from them there. You don't even have to be a client of Dr. Steve, but just go over there. They have a kiosk of these specialized dental care deals, and they want to make sure that you know that you can buy it at his cost. No profit on it whatsoever. Wants to take care of your teeth. So they don't turn into teeth. We'll just kind of leave it at that. Yeah, we want to keep your teeth so they don't turn into teeth. We'll just kind of let that go, okay? Don Ritchie writes me this morning. Bill, in 1970, Congress took their anti-smoking initiative one step further and passed the Public Health Cigarette Smoking Act, banning the advertising of cigarettes on TV and radio, starting in January of 1971. When will Congress act on banning pharmaceutical advertisements on TV, radio, and social media platforms? Just curious. I don't know. It could be I think a lot of it is going to be what comes out of the MAHA agenda here, Make America Healthy Again. They are legal products, rather, and certainly so was cigarettes. So are you implying that that most of the pharmaceutical world is as dangerous as cigarettes? I don't know. Anyway, it's an interesting question you pose. Thank you very much for that. Let me go to, of course, I just lost my place here, but for some reason I had my mouse going in the wrong direction. Ah, here we go. This is from Butch. Butch says, Bill, now that we have a water park we didn't ask for and now a convention center we didn't want, it will be fun to see these venues do battle to host events. The Expo raped users with fees, then hurt RV parks by venturing into the private market. Now I see the Medford Rod and Custom Show has moved to Rogue X. Makes perfect bureaucratic sense. Why use a venue next to I-5 when one can bury it in the bowels of obscurity and harder to find? At some point, Rogue Valley residents may wrest control away from RV cog, unelected bureaucrats, and career failed politicians and temporary city managers. Hail to Dan Jordan. Hail to the king. All right, Butch. Appreciate your writing here. Let me go to the next one here. Janet ended up writing me over the weekend. Bill, had a chance to listen to the Dr. Malone interview without interruption this morning. I had this on Clear Connections on Saturday and Sunday. Really enjoyed it and learned a lot. Janet, I'm glad that that helped out. I thought he was a very interesting interview indeed. And Jim Katzel writes me, morning, question I would pose to the liberals is simple. Would you rather have the Doge team cut all the crap out of government spending that supports crap in other countries, or have your Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps, and other things cut to pay for the government waste? The country can't do both, or we will go broke. Hans Albuquerque weighs in here also this morning. Bill, any twosome gruesome newsome and his ilk sidekick, Shift Show, are begging the Don for federal funds of $40 billion to make California corrupt again, under the guise of relief for the recent Palisades fires in Who's Whoville. Only 25% is dedicated to home rebuilding. 25% to business loans and grants, Hans asks. I thought it was mostly homes that were lost. And what kind of businesses are we talking about? Couldn't possibly be reprobate green scams, could it, Hans poses. 5% for low-income housing tax credits? Who has a low-income house in Who's Whoville? And finally, a whopping 2% towards fixing the actual aggravators, such as water pressure, brush mitigation, infrastructure, and they're demanding no strings attached. I would just drive by if I was Trump. Hans, I'm going to give you a real American salute. I think that was a great way of looking at it. Real American salute for that email of the day. 8:54 and change. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
The French fries are so crispy and delicious.
I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
8:57. Going to wrap it up in a minute or two here. Tomorrow, of course, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, all right? The email bill at BillMyersShow.com. Some more came in. I wanted to touch on them briefly here for taking off for Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins. Donald Olson writes me about the kids in Ashland influencing the other kids in Ashland, known as the Ashland City Council, not particularly a mature group in their thinking, as far as I'm concerned, about making sure that there was no, or doing everything possible to make it next to impossible for you to get natural gas in your home. $4,000 cost to put a gas furnace in because of the climate, you know, that kind of thing. And Donald Olson opines, Bill, can we stop referring to it as a fee and call it what it is, a fine, a penalty? You see quite clearly, Donald, another real American salute. And finally, we have Mark who wrote me and said, hey, Bill, what about the Fort Knox gold? You know, there's talk about the Fort Knox gold, right? And even Doge was talking about wanting to audit this. Maybe get Ron Paul involved in it. That would be great. I would find this wonderful. And Mark says, Bill, what if it's not there? We've been adding to positions for a couple of reasons. Gold continues to climb in the remote potential for accounting fraud. What are your thoughts? You know something? I'm suspicious about the gold in Fort Knox here, Mark. And one of the reasons for this is that if you, well, let me put it this way. If reality fits your narrative, if reality, if the evidence fits what you've been claiming, that there's tons of gold in Fort Knox and that we got a lot of this, then you put it out there. The military has refused anyone to look at it for decades, even Congress critters. That makes me a little bit suspicious. You can't take it to court yet, but I don't know. We'll see.